We're all set.
Okay, thank you. I would like to welcome everyone to the August 4th, 2022 Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. And Fawn, would you be kind enough to please call the roll?
I certainly will. Chair Manager Green.
Present.
Gina Hansett is with us, I see.
Here.
Bill Erger.
Present.
Joe Maloney. I don't see Joe yet. And Eric Stewart.
I'm here.
All right. So you have a quorum, Madam Chair.
All right. I thank you. And I would like to ask if is there a volunteer who would kindly say the pledge? We have somebody willing to step up.
Let's do it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. And next is approval of the minutes of the July 7th and July 19th. We had a special meeting. 2022. Do I have a motion regarding the minutes?
A motion.
By Legislator Hansen. Do I have a second?
Second.
I see
by Legislator Erner. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
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 Does anyone oppose? All right, motion carries. And the next on the agenda is an update from the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. Chair Rocky.
Good evening. Good to see everybody. Let's see, what have we been up to? We're in the process of trying to hire an executive director. We have some excellent candidates. I think we're down to three, and we have more interviews with the same people this week coming. And so pretty soon we should settle in on deciding who will be the next executive director. And let's see, the other thing that's happening with respect to the Reuse Innovation Center, I was over at the site the other day, and I was out at the new education building, and the people from Stony Brook who are classifying the waste were there, and they had like a whole pile of waste that they were actually going through. So I'm hoping that we can get some of their data. I think they came last year and did the same thing. So I'm hoping for the Reuse Innovation Center will be able to get some of the data from them. And that gives us a head start for that project.
That's
so,
great.
Even though it's not really what's going on at UCRA, it's what's going on at UCRA. So that's all that's happening at the moment. Tim DeGraff is away on vacation, went down to Delaware, having a good time on the beach. So he'll be back beginning of the week.
Okay. So. And what follows almost directly is, let's see, Nick, remind me, your title, is it director of Department of Environment?
It is, yes.
Oh, would you please share an update and, you know, just for continuity, maybe let people know about the Reuse Innovation Center. Any progress in that, and then anything else you want to bring to our attention?
Of course, yeah. The review process for the Reuse Innovation Center planning study capital project request for proposals is coming to a close. The committee has assessed two proposals and is finalizing the decision at this point. So by next month's meeting, we should have be able to announce what the next steps are for the project. What we'll be doing between then and now is doing the contracting, preparing, negotiating the budget with the vendor that is selected, and ultimately preparing a resolution for the capital project to be created and funded. So I was
going to remind you that we need to take that step, but there's no need to remind. Our Department of Environment is completely on top of what needs to be done, and it's a real privilege and pleasure to work with them.
The only other announcement I have is the County Department of the Environment and a couple of other groups have formed a Climate Smart Municipal Task Force to support municipalities around the county who are doing Climate Smart Communities work. And out of that group is coming the first annual Municipal, Environmental, and Climate Committee Annual Roundtable, which will be held in Monday, August 29th, a few short weeks from now. It will be 5 to 8 p.m. at the Rosendale Rec Center. The audience for this roundtable is volunteers and municipal staff who are working on Climate Smart projects throughout the county at the municipal level. It may be EMC members, Climate Smart Task Force members, or Conservation Advisory Council members from around the county who might attend. And it's in person, and we're looking forward to having it be a fun gathering where we all learn something. So if you'd like more information, we do have an Eventbrite registration, and can share that with you.
And then, do I understand we could also invite members, for example, of Climate Reality and other affiliated groups, or do you want to really not limit, but specify?
Because this is the first one, and because we have a very limited timeline, we're keeping the time for presentation short and the time for collaborating between towns longer. So that's how we're tailoring it. So certainly could attend, those groups could attend, but we want to focus on municipal support, particularly around the Climate Smart Communities program.
And we had a lot of interest at the fair, and particularly people noticing if their community wasn't participating yet.
That's great. Yeah, that poster is effective. Yeah.
Nick, can you email us on the committee that?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
It will be a one-page PDF.
Great.
Yeah. One page is always good.
Yes. Short and sweet.
All right.
That's all I have, Chair Green. Thank you.
And Dave Haldeman, if you could give us an update from the Ulster County Environmental Management Council, please.
Well, unfortunately, I was not able to be at the last meeting, so I really can't give you the update. And I really have nothing on the agenda tonight, so I will pass. unless the next one remembers anything that came up meeting that we should mention.
Well, you're also our liaison, so we appreciate your being here, and some of the things we'll be discussing this evening, you might want to bring back to them. So thank you for participating. And at this point, I'd like to move to the resolutions. And I just have one question, but let's ask for a motion to discuss resolution number 419, establishing capital project number 644, site ready services for electric vehicle charging stations. And this is from DPW. A motion to discuss would be most welcome.
I motion.
All right, Legislator Hansett, seconded by Legislator Erner. Does anyone have any questions or discussion? Yes, please, Legislator Erner.
Thank you, Chair Green. So, what are these stations for? Are they for workers at these departments' personal vehicles, or are they for official county vehicles, or both?
Yes, please, Legislator Hansett.
So I was on the Monday, the chair meeting, because Manna couldn't be there. So I did, so what I was told were kind of for both. It has access to the public as well. And then I did ask about how they came up with these five sites. And again, it was the locations in the county that made the most sense with accessibility. And I did ask also about if we could, moving forward, if more sites could be added. And they said yes. So it was really, it's for the public and for all. So
that is very similar to the existing charging stations at the county building. Not part of the county system, but SUNY New Paltz has similar, and it's just an interesting point that almost all of the charging either uses ChargePoint or something compatible, except for Tesla. And Tesla has its own separate system. And I have been noticing various restaurants and other places are installing Tesla. And I'm like, could you put one universal, you know, not have them all be specifically for Teslas? But it just seems to me that industry needs to work this out, because having separate it's hard enough to get charging stations installed, but I think this is a good step forward.
I'd like to add a point.
Please.
The capital project is set up so that it can prepare sites for both public and for fleet only use. There are some sites where we know that the county fleet is the departments that will have electric vehicles and that need additional charging capacity. And there is some plan to have stations that are dedicated to fleet use only, which will differentiate. Currently, all of the stations around the county are available to the public for workplace charging by employees and to the fleet. But as we have more electric vehicles in the fleet, that having dedicated stations will be necessary, particularly at places like the jail and the public works garage, probation.
So I was wondering, like, I thought there was gonna be I guess I'm confused. So there's going to be how many chargers actually installed, and of those chargers, like how many vehicles are able to be charged at one time? Do we know?
So the number of stations at each site is being determined now. So we did estimate in the capital project what that would be. We're estimating based on the number of vehicles that department serve, but then also planning for future proofing. Typically for the level two style of station that would be installed, multiple vehicles could use that throughout the day to maintain operating charge. So it's not necessarily a one-to-one relationship between vehicles and plugs.
Okay. And do we have a list of, do we have an exact list of these locations? Or, I was going through the backup and I, for some reason, I couldn't find that information, so.
Mm-hmm. The way this particular contract is written is that it's not specific, but when DPW put out the request for bids, certain sites were listed. So it was social services, probation, UCAT, and the jail, I think were the four that were listed specifically. But the capital plan itself has a listing of where the the initial needs are. So
okay.
The capital.
So, the capital, social services, UCAT, jail, and what was the other one that you mentioned? I'm sorry, Nick.
Probation.
Mm-hmm. Nick, go ahead, legislator Erna.
No, you haven't spoken yet, Chair Green. I can wait. Thank you.
Okay, I have a question that relates to the second resolution as well. But in the resolution we're considering right now, construction is estimated to be $50,000, and professional services is the bulk of the resolution, but it doesn't mention the contractor that I could see. And is that because first we need to authorize the funds and then the next resolution is also really, it's not so clear that these two are directly related, at least not to me. And I just want clarification that in the next resolution that we're talking about the same firm. Is my question clear?
To my knowledge, it's the same project. So the capital project encompasses the site ready services, but will also encompass the procurement of the equipment itself and then the installation of the equipment. So the first resolution's larger scope than the second.
Kind of along those same lines, I just thought that the professional services considering the units themselves, the charging stations themselves are estimated to cost $50,000. And then the professional services was roughly five times that. That just seems like kind of an unusual imbalance to me. And I kind of ran this by someone who has dealt with EV chargers a lot. That would be Tom Conrad. And he thought that seemed a little excessive as well, as far as the professional services go. And I was wondering if we had like some, explanation as to whether that is true, that it seems high, or, some explanation as to, why that is so much more than the cost of the chargers themselves.
If I may, go ahead, Nick, please.
It just seemed out of line. I was just wondering if this is something that you typically see, or if it's just new to me, because I don't claim to be an expert about this. So
at this stage in the project, a lot of the costs are highly variable. So we know we have pricing for the site ready work, but we also know that a good portion of that cost will be eligible for rebates from the utility. So I think that's where the $50,000 is being allocated, to allow for that work, not knowing where it's, where the costs are going to end, especially until we do a one or two projects, in which we're getting pricing for those right now.
Right. And so some of the money being spent on professional services could perhaps come back to us in the form of rebates, you're saying?
So the rebates would be applied to the construction for the site ready services.
Okay.
Professional services, I think, are, I'm not sure how this was written, but I think it may be intended to capture other costs that are not known at this point and then be amended after that. But I'd have to talk to the DPW.
I see legislator Lerner's hand, and I made an assumption, but we should never assume that the actual equipment, other than preparing the site, which I expect is DPW work, but the equipment and overseeing all that installation and the engineering. But I expected it that it includes the equipment as well, but I'd like to get clarification. And Legislator Erner, please.
Yeah, thanks. It looks to me in the backup for this resolution on the fifth out of the 27 pages that we might have some of that clarification with a start, I guess, to this from last August. That I'd love to hear about what's been going on since August. But as far as the money there, it breaks it down. Design, $95,000. Construction, $158,000. Acquisition, $63,000. It has timelines for each of these. It has year breakdowns of the spending, and it totals up the same number we have in this in the summary of the resolution. So it looks to me like much more of the money is actually going to building the thing than the $50,000. And then as far as the funding, at the bottom of that page, you can see we at least anticipated $152,000 coming from the state, so about half. And then there's a line that says other, and then the county's unfunded share. I'm sorry, the other line is $89,000, the county's unfunded share $76,000. So that certainly, if that's what we're voting on, that helps me understand a lot better than the summary.
Madam Chair.
Thank you for that, Phil.
Resolution 421 shows that 60% is county, 40% is other. But if you go in the contract in your backup to Schedule A, it lists how many they're going to, you know, what the contractor is going to do for that money. It shall include but not limited to site work, concrete pads, installation of ballards, and electrical work. And it's social services. They're going to put four stations with two ports per station, what the models of those stations are. At probation, they're putting three stations, two ports per station. At law enforcement, they're putting three stations, two ports per stations, and at UCAT, two stations with two ports per stations. And it goes on to detail all of the work in the next several pages that they're going to do. And then Schedule B shows what each of those services are. It's like on a cost basis based on the work for each one.
Thank you. That's really helpful. All right, go ahead, Legislator.
Thank you. And I did read about a fifth site, the Public Works Department itself on Shamrock and Kingston would get some of these. Is that correct?
It's possibly in here. I haven't read through the entire thing, but it does say it can be more sites.
Yeah, I don't think that was specified, but it is on the list of places to add stations.
Okay, I had another question, comment, if I might.
Go ahead.
I've spoken publicly about my interest in terms of, let's say, individuals' transportation to move as many people in Ulster County to mass transit as possible as the greenest thing we could do in that department. As part of this initiative, is there any effort to incentivize the use of transit to get to these sites? A lot of these sites I know have buses along them, and we've talked in other committees and elsewhere in this body about some challenges that we are also working on. I'm happy to report. But when we had debated the gas tax, for example, and you know, I had stated that I wanted us to first make transit more equitable. So I'm just wondering if that's part of the plan too. Here we're installing some charging stations that for the fleet, that's one thing, but for the public, a lot of us aren't going to have access to electric vehicles anytime soon. So what are we doing about that part of the public as well? Thank you.
I know that there is a plan also being developed for electric vehicles that would be made available to help people get to public transit. And that's, Nick, do you have, are you aware of that program that I believe the executive branch is working? Maybe I don't want to.
That's the VIA program. Is that VIA? Is that what it's
yes.
called?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that the county has submitted a proposal to NYSERDA for funding for a micromobility program that would cover pilot projects in four locations, I believe. And yes, that would be one of the goals of that program is to connect people with transit.
And please finish. I'm sorry.
Of the sites that are planned, the two that stick out as public sites are Ulster Area Transit, the UCAT bus garage, so that would be connected to transit, and the other one is the Trudy Resnick-Farber Center in Ellenville, which would be it's close to transit within blocks, but also potentially a micromobility hub.
It's a step in the right direction. You know, we need a lot more. And my last comment, or unless other people have other comments, is that I kind of feel like we have to install solar at all of these sites. Otherwise, I'm putting more pressure on the grid. And that could result in more fossil fuel being burned, not at the vehicle, but in the overall. And so you'll have to forgive me if I keep pushing for that, but it almost seems like you need to put the solar in place before going to the electric vehicle. And the same thing with air and ground source heat pumps. Let's get the renewable energy infrastructure in place as we're switching to what they call beneficial electrification. And Chelsea's heard me say that a dozen times or more, but I think it's important to stress and have be part of the record.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Manager, because there's something that I would like to discuss under new business that sort of falls under that category. So thanks.
Yes, Dave, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to mention that I have seen that there's some proposed federal legislation to make universal charging points. To follow up on your concern that to have a Tesla port that nobody else can use and then everybody else has limited access doesn't make any sense. And I'm seeing the federal government starting to step in and say, we need universal ports. So just to let you know.
Good. I think it'd be great at some point to approach Michelle Hinchey's office too, to see what progress is being made on her efforts to bring charging stations to the rest areas along the thruway.
Yep. Maybe a few of us could do that outreach and just, you know, kind of put that on our to-do list. I'd be glad to be part of that conversation.
Okay. Well, since I brought it up, I might do the initial outreach and see where that leads us. So I'll put that on my agenda if that works for people.
And I think Legislator Erner would like to be part of that conversation. Go ahead.
Sure.
I wanted to strongly second what you said earlier, Chair Green. If we're putting EV stations to charge electric vehicles, but that electricity comes from the same fossil fuels that we would have been burning in a internal combustion engine. And I've got a serious problem with it. And I would want us to guarantee that that electricity did not come from burning fossil fuels, in fact, or we're just fooling ourselves and our constituents.
Let me suggest a little later on, we're going to have a conversation because some of the legislators are asking that we revise the declaration of climate emergency. And that could be one of the actions, given the fact that the climate crisis is worsening basically faster and worse than predicted. So let's make a note that one of the actions, and by the way, both Clearwater and the 7-county Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition Energy Working Group both made that recommendation about the draft scoping plan. Let's get the renewables in place to support the beneficial electrification, not the other way around, and also the emphasis on public transportation, and also, and Gina, now this is probably 101 times I've said this, but, you know, deep energy retrofits, retrofitting our buildings so that we're not wasting fuel to heat or cool. All right. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So I just, I'm just quickly brainstorming, because if we pass this right now, we might be setting ourselves up for possibility of not doing what we say we want to do. I did read somewhere in the proposal, and I don't remember honestly if it was in the 419 part or the 421 part, but where it connects to the grid, where it connects to the Central Hudson, and that's going to, at least for the time being, guarantee that we have no control over how that electricity is generated. I'm wondering if there's any interest in holding off a month while we figure out if it's possible, like we could talk with a prospective contractor, if it's possible to not have to connect to the grid, and then we can research the options for an independent generation that we do control as the public of Ulster County.
I'm going to make a counter proposal and we'll see what everyone thinks. You know, just as if, like, I don't want to say we shouldn't do any air source or ground source heat pumps until we have the renewables in place. I also think this is a handful of charging stations is a step in the right direction. But I absolutely think that we should create a policy as part of that redeclaring a climate emergency, that we should have a very strong action relating to Ulster County modeling, putting the renewable energy in place. Is there an urgency where asking that question? Nick, your hand is up anyway. You're probably ready to address that. I'd like to hear your take on it, please.
Thank you. I wanted to add the note that currently the county has a policy to purchase 100% of its electricity from renewable sources, which lately has taken the form of renewable energy credits from our energy supplier, but also subscriptions in community solar projects and remote net metering arrangements. So from an accounting perspective, any power used at county facilities is technically renewable, but it, you know, it is in a direct relationship, or it is in a direct connection to a generating source. So that's all.
All right, let me see if we can get the sense of the committee about postponing and talking to the contractor or moving forward and making this a real priority for a resolution that many people are interested in developing, that is to revise the climate emergency declaration with very specific actions. So, Legislator Hansett, where'd you go? Legislator Stewart, I want to just canvass each of us and figure out a next step.
Is there any drop? Is there any unfortunate consequences for delaying a vote on this until next month? I mean, does that cause, you know, problems for the contractors or for the county?
From my perspective, it will delay the project to do the site ready work.
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about humongous amounts of money as far as, you know, county expenditures go, but I guess I don't know if I really have a strong feeling one way or another, Vanna.
Let's hear from Chair Von Kaffner. She might have something valuable to add, please.
Yeah, I've just gone through this entire thing of putting solar on my garage and upgrading to heat pumps for my house, and all of that still has to be connected to the grid. So even if you had a huge solar installation next to this car charging point, it would still be connected to the grid. So I don't think delaying would have any effect as how it's all going to work out.
Other than delaying, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So especially if the county is already committed to renewable resources in their billing. I know Aqua does the same thing. We're in with some community solar programs to as part of our billing. So that's all I had to say. Just I don't think it's going to make any difference.
I think the benefit of that is the more people that sign up for community solar, it enables that infrastructure to be put into place. I know that Legislator Hansett had to step away for a minute. I would like to just postpone the vote on this and move to, just for temporarily for a few minutes, and move to discussion on the next resolution so we can get everything clear since the two are interrelated, and then come back and make a decision.
Okay, I'll move that for discussion.
Great. Do we have a second for discussion?
I'll second that.
Okay, and I think that's 421, which is where to go.
Like me to read it?
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
421, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000. Entered into by the County J&J Sands Electric, Department of Finance, and Department of Public Works.
So it's my understanding that, we have a motion and a second, that J&J is going to do the bulk of the work other than the site preparation. Am I reading that correctly? Is that what others understand? That's why, you know, there's so much of the project. Yes, please.
So J&J SAS will be doing the site preparation through this contract. Oh, okay. So we are contracting that work out, and they'll be doing what's called the make ready, and then at that point the site, you know, we can hire a separate installer to put in the station, which it has to be a certified installer through the manufacturer. So.
Okay. Oh, I see. It's at the end of. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about the work that they'll be doing?
And they've worked on a lot of projects in the area, so the county has worked with them before.
It's not clear to me in the resolution, maybe in the backup, but usually it just says financial impact rates anticipated to exceed 50,000, but it's not more specific than that. Usually, if we're going to award something, the amount is more clear.
The way that the bid was designed was to set rates for various components of the make ready work that has to be done. So at some sites we need an entire new electrical service and a new circuit breaker panel. Other sites we don't. Some sites we want to have 3 stations. Other sites, maybe 5. So we asked the vendors to bid based on the rate for doing either a foot of trenching or the installation of a new panel or each individual mounting pad that would go in. So it was priced that way, and then each individual project will be priced accordingly based on the scope that we determine at the time. So some of those are getting priced now and some of them will be priced in the future. But the total amount isn't known.
Juan, I see what you're holding up, but can you tell us what basically what you're looking at?
So that's Schedule B of the contract. It's fees and expenses. So if they're foreman installing a concrete pedestal, that's going to be $4,452 each. Installation of wire from pole to panel is $588 per linear foot. Protective bollards installed is $1,910 each. So it doesn't say how many of each of those, but just has a cost breakdown for each of those services. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different services. Installation of a new electrical panel would be $28,442 each. Electrical panel and meter pan would be $16,229 each. And then there's some wire and like blacktop and concrete, conduit wire in blacktop and concrete, $380 per linear foot. So it has a breakdown of what we're paying for, but it doesn't,
total.
Capital would be a not to exceed amount. So,
yep. Okay. Legislator Erner?
To add to that, on page 21, item 2, we have a list of the services and the locations. So the 4 locations that Director Vazda had mentioned are each specified. For example, 4 stations at DSS, 3 stations at probation, and then there's some other details that it gives, and then it says additional information, site may include installation of outdoor rated 120 volt fixtures, details in particular subject to change per written direction from the project manager. So we have Commissioner Masterson as listed as the project manager, I believe, here. So it sounds like they'd have to check in with him to as to what he'd authorize or what they'd like to do. And I also had 2 questions, or 1 comment and one question. If I might.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. On page 18, I believe there's a typo. It's listing the address for the vendor. The vendor I is located in my district in Midtown, but it says Poughkeepsie. I think that needs to change to Kingston 12401. And
do we need to amend that? No. Okay.
Okay, thanks. And then my question is on page 23, there, item 23 on page 23 is referring to any services performed at the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center. And it basically talks about history and background checks and so forth for anybody working there. And then the vendor has to replace anyone that the sheriff denies access to immediately and so forth. I'm just wondering, anybody has experienced, is that standard language around work that a contractor does at the law enforcement center? And also, I would have assumed that this work was being done in the parking lot outside, not inside any secure area. So the sheriff's obviously not here to talk to us about it, but that just struck me as interesting.
Certainly electric would be indoors.
Go ahead. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Because we could, at this point,
I'll add an answer.
Okay.
Legislator Erner. I do believe that language is standard for public works whenever there's a contract related to the law enforcement center. I have seen that in other contracts.
Thank you.
All right. So if we're ready, I would like to go back to 419. Legislator Hanson, when you had to step away, there was a question about, Phil, do you want to just restate your suggestion and then we'll figure out the next step?
Sure, thanks. I just thought we might postpone for a month to determine whether we could assure that the power would not come from burning the fossil fuels we're trying to avoid by charging cars, electrical cars. Director Bynekaffner pointed out probably not, because everything just connects to the grid no matter what. And Director Vazda pointed out we do 100% credit purchases and other things that to offset and so forth. So, and then Chair Green, you were kind of canvassing us to see where we were at.
And also saying that, you know, if one thing comes out of this discussion, it's an action step for, you know, to be very specific in terms of future policy. And I think it would be really great if Ulster County, in addition to supporting community solar through REC credits and things like that, if we can actually start to plan to put the infrastructure in place on the various locations. We have an amazing large solar facility at the closed Town of Ulster landfill, and I'm gonna grab a cough drop and Legislator Hanson, would you like to just momentarily see if we're ready to take action on this, and I'll be right back when I can talk.
Okay. Are we going to vote on this? We ready to vote?
I think the responses that we got kind of assuaged some of my concerns, and I wouldn't want to just delay it for the sake of delaying it.
Okay. All right.
And I think it's super important that, you know, we make the change over to electric vehicles. And obviously, if we're going to do that, we need to have the infrastructure in place. It's not, like I say, I mean, not that $360,000 or whatever is chump change, but I mean, it's, yeah, I'm ready to vote on it and I would be in favor of it.
Okay. Fawn, should we take a vote?
I think you're ready to take a vote.
Okay.
All in favor of resolution number 419, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
Aye.
Does anyone oppose? This was a really good discussion. Motion carries. And I think we're also ready to take a vote on 421. Does anybody have any further discussion or can we?
I move we call the question.
All right. all in favor of resolution number 21, please signify.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Excellent. All right. Now back to the agenda.
Excuse me just a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. For new business, Delaware Aqueduct, temporary shutdown. Please remind me who asked, to put this on the agenda.
Stuart, I sent you an updated agenda, too, with the items that you had asked for on there. So the first item I have on the agenda under new business is possible revisions of resolutions declaring a climate emergency with specific actions. Did you want to leave that on your agenda for tonight?
I'm not prepared to speak to it. And if there's no one else, you know, that brought this forward, I'd like to leave it on the agenda for next time and try to, see what is relevant.
If I may add something to that. Legislator Petit sent us all, because when this initially came up, when I received Tim Guinea's initial email, and then I sent it to all the members of this committee as well as to Public Works. Legislator Petit actually drew up a draft resolution, and I mean, I don't know if we want to go through her draft and figure, out what we want to keep and what we'd want to add. I was going to say maybe if I'm trying to think which would be the best way to deal with this, that doesn't involve a lot of, back and forth. I was wondering if perhaps we could either break into a smaller, informal group and discuss that, or if we should take a look at Legislator Petit's draft and make changes to that, perhaps with a Google document or something like that.
I'm going to interrupt you because I think we're not quite there. I was still back on new business Delaware Aqueduct, and it sounds to me like you're speaking about
I was speaking about the resolution declaring a climate emergency.
Oh, I see. I pulled up an earlier version of the agenda. You're absolutely right, and so I do want to suggest that we have a little bit of discussion about that, but that it really has to happen outside of the meeting and, bring something a little more formed to the meeting. That could happen by creating a shared document.
Right.
Or holding a special meeting. If we're doing that kind of preparation work, I don't think that has to be noticed. especially if it's a handful of legislators right. that want to work on it. But let me check with the clerk.
And Fawn just sent us all in the chat offer to provide us with the initial resolution that was passed several years ago. So I think that is also a great starting point. So I'm just trying to figure out the best way that we should proceed. I mean, should we all, like you say, use a Google Doc and just play around with it? Or I'm just not quite sure how is the best way to, you know, move forward.
I might suggest you take a combination of things and talk with maybe David Gordon. He's, quite knowledgeable about environmental issues, or one of your attorneys, and have them help you draft a resolution. And certainly you could talk to the clerk. She's a pro.
Right.
And she could give you some great advice and work. I don't believe anybody's spoken to her about this yet.
I have not mentioned it to her at all. But that's something, I think that's someone that we should definitely speak to for sure. I think your idea about going to David Gordon is great too, but I think we need to have at least something more concrete before we approach him, I would think.
Absolutely. And my suggestion would be to do both, to have people who want to work on this have a shared document, and between now and our next meeting, let's see if we can add in action items. And I think that's the two things that justify moving forward, is that the ice sheets are breaking off in Antarctica, the Arctic and Himalayas, right. and so forth. That there's just been, really since December, the news has been devastating. And so it does make sense to revise the original emergency and give very specific reasons why we are revising, but also very specific action items.
Right. And another thing that came up in the conversation is that, not only do we need to have specific actions, which I totally agree with, that we can actually take, on a county level, but also point out things that we've already done. And perhaps, I don't know if that should be in the last year, this specific legislative session, to address, some of these issues as well. So I think we need actions and also showing what we have been doing, both. And also, as you said, reasons why we're revising it now. So it's almost like I kind of envision like it's three sections of bullet points. Why we're doing it, what we have done, what we intend to do, sort of situation.
Sounds great. Can we move that to that forum of a shared document and one or two Zoom meetings? And I also want to ask if others on the call other than the committee want to be kept in the loop, Department of Environment or UCRA or EMC, just so we know who to be in communication with. And no pressure, but I also don't want to exclude if you
right.
want to participate.
I also wanted to just point out that Chair Bartels has expressed an interest in being a co-sponsor of whatever resolution we as a group come up with. And also, I ran into Tim Guinea the other day, and he was very excited that his initial email had started such a, back and forth. And I also approached Chair Bartels about this, and, we're hoping to have Tim address the entire legislature. He does extremely compelling presentations, and I think if we, gave him 10 minutes or, however long we determine is appropriate, he'd be a great person to to speak at an upcoming session. And I told him that I would send him our legislative session and see if we could figure out, you know, a date that works with his schedule, because I know that he travels frequently. So
clear it with the chair.
I'm sorry, what was that, Juan?
Just make sure you clear any presentations with the chair, and if she would grant him privilege of the floor. That comes from
yes.
The-
Great. Thank you for that reminder. Yes.
Okay. I think I have the right updated agenda now. The next is CEQRA. Chair Bartels asked for another month before we discuss this, but what I do want to suggest, we have new committee members, and even those of us, I've been working with CEQRA for more than 20 years, but it's tricky, and there is a thought that we might create a policy that says that all CEQRA needs to be reviewed by this committee. So my suggestion is, and Fawn very kindly provided a list of videos, and I'll try and review those and see which I would recommend. But also, I think we need to have an interactive session, and all three attorneys are knowledgeable on this, as is the county attorney. But I think this is one of Dave Gordon's strong points. He seems to be a real specialist in CEQRA and has written memoranda, et cetera. So what I'd like to do is essentially set up a class after we've had a chance to look at the videos, but something that can be interactive. And for example, the way the resolutions were set up for a project, and I don't want to get into the details of that. The point I want to make is we can't pass a resolution out of committee and then pass it on the floor to make Ulster County lead agency. And then also that same night issue a negative declaration. There has to be a month in between. So those are the kinds of things that I think we could all use a refresher, and then we can help remind each other, because it is tricky. And because it's tricky, unless an attorney jumps in and says, be careful of this, things tend to slide by. And I don't want to, you know, I want us to be as prepared as possible to remind each other so things get done correctly. And ultimately, I personally believe that CEQRA needs to be updated even more because of climate change. So that may end up being one of the things that we put into a list for the revised declaration. So we'll just make a note of that. Legislator Stewart.
So I guess I just had two questions about what you just said. So you're saying that you think that this committee should review every CEQRA action in which the county is the lead agency?
It's open for discussion, but
right.
The thing is,
I mean, do we know how many? How much work would we be taking on by doing that? I guess is my ultimate question.
Director Vasta, do you have a sense of that? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but.
Could you rephrase the question? I'm sorry.
My question was, if this committee took it upon themselves to review every action in which Ulster County was the lead agency, I mean, how many applications would would we be looking at?
Oh, I don't know if I can quantify that. Depends on, I think it's typically submitted in the resolution for the project specifically. Many public works projects have it, but I don't.
I mean, I'm saying I'm not opposed to the idea, but I'm just concerned that that might be an enormous amount of work. That's all.
Why don't we leave it for now? We'll check with planning. I think you know, that's where we can get a good idea. And it's just, this is just a suggestion that was made. I see your hand. Is it a direct response? Because
yes.
Legislator Stewart had another point.
Oh, and my other question was the CECRA class, I think, would be an awesome thing. And I mean, it's something that I have wanted to learn more about for several years since I served on the town board in Marbletown. I would think that would be a very valuable class for us to take. But were you suggested that class would be basically conducted by David Gordon, or I mean, who would actually conduct that class?
Well, Fonos also did some research for us, and there are some videos that are available. So it may end up being that on our own time, we watch the videos and formulate questions, and then have a meeting for more for clarification. Right. Than have him have to teach the whole class. So,
well, I think it's a great idea.
Great. Legislator Erner.
Oh, thanks. I just would like to see our committee have some more, I guess, foreknowledge about projects involving CECRA. I've found this in my first 7 months on this body that there's often a pace of things that goes too slow, and then in my opinion, and others that goes too quick. And some of the environmental review related projects I feel might go too quick, at least for me to get a handle on what was studied, what the conclusion was, and why. So any other opportunity to have more, at least understanding of it, if not input, I would appreciate.
In the meantime, until this gets resolved, we can all, whenever we have a resolution that's coming to our committee, just do a word search for CECRA or negative declaration, or, you know, and just be alerted. I'm trying to encourage us all to be thinking about it, because over the years, I think some things have kind of just got rubber stamped and not really thought through. So is that a current hand, Legislator Stewart?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I failed to take that down. My apologies.
All right. Back to the agenda. Need for CECRA, energy benchmarking requirements for IDA. I do know that a while ago, Legislator Petit and I had a very productive meeting with the IDA, and the thought was to increase the ranking for sustainability criteria, especially as they relate to climate change. Not sure that any action was taken, and I've thought about the need to follow up. But let me just ask who the benchmarking, energy benchmarking, who added that to the agenda? And I apologize if I did.
I did.
Erner, rather.
Maybe we both did. I remember having something about it, but
it was you, Legislator Erner.
Okay. Yeah, well, Chair Green, I'm glad to hear of your previous work on that. And maybe I could follow up with the IDA. I've been to their last two meetings.
Mm-hmm. How about if you request an agenda item? Basically, there are two suggestions, and maybe in a conversation, we could get clarity from their perspective and our perspective, and actually have them adopt a change. If you would sort of take lead on that and let us know if it becomes an agenda item. And also, when you let us know, please include Legislator Petit, because she was part of that really productive discussion, but like so many good ideas, it tends to get layered over with other good ideas. All right. Thank you. All right. And then...
don't want you to miss the Delaware Aqueduct temporary shutdown that Legislator Erner also put on the...
Okay. Do you have anything on that? The Delaware Aqueduct?
Unfortunately not. And Legislator Stewart, thanks for your recommendation. I think you said, sure, to speak to your town. Was it your town supervisor or in Hurley?
It was Rich Parody in Marbletown. I know that he has dealt with this situation previously. And he's knowledgeable about that. And I thought he just might be a good person to touch base with.
I didn't have any special concern other than to have just seen that story in the news and thought the public, I mean, hopefully the news is informing the public as that's their job too. But yeah, I have not followed up yet, obviously.
Well, there's a crazy situation in Marbletown where they hired retired Navy divers to go down something like 1,000 feet below the surface and remove this biofilm from the interior of the pipes. And it was just quite an engineering feat, and it's been something that's been going on for many months. It was something that was totally paid for by New York City. That they were footing the bill for this really massive project, and for a while they were paying to have water shipped in to folks in the High Falls Water District while they were unable to tap into the aqueduct. So like I said, he's very knowledgeable about it, and that if you have concerns, he might be a good person just to chat with.
Yeah,
years ago, the county bought a lot of properties along the aqueduct that were being flooded.
Down in the town of Wawarsing, especially, I know that was the case, yes.
It is quite a miraculous project and very much needed for New York City's water supply, the fact that they are cleaning that. Okay.
May I bring something up in new business as well?
Okay, yes, in new business. Go ahead.
Earlier today, I attended a meeting of the Rondout Valley Business Association, of which I sit on their board, and it happened to be at the Rondout Municipal Complex, which is the shared town halls of Rosendale and Marbletown, and Tom Conrad, who I mentioned earlier, who's the chair of the Marbletown ECC, gave a brief presentation about something that I thought was really super interesting and something that I was unaware of. As many of you know, the town of Marbletown is looking to extend its water line, the water line that serves SUNY Ulster. They would take that down Leggett Road in Marbletown to 209. And extend public water to folks along 209 in the town of Marbletown, and it looks like through the sewer and water resolution that Joe Maloney and Laura Petit put forward. It looks like the town of Marbletown would be receiving, and then the county executive signed on to that. So it looks like the town of Marbletown will be receiving $500,000 for that particular project for phase one, which is awesome. But then Tom Conrad said, you know, while we are working, and you know, we don't have a start date for this yet, by the way, but he asked, like, when we start to, you know, do the trenching for the extension of this water pipeline, he's trying to get funding, $6,000, to do a scoping project. And that scoping project would be to install a thermal network, that would run alongside the water pipeline. And this thermal network would be for geothermal, energy so that residences and businesses along that route would be able to tap into this geothermal network. And this also could possibly, serve to, update the heating and cooling system at SUNY Ulster itself. And, like I said, he's trying to, he approached the Randolph Valley Business Association because he wanted them to basically write a letter to the town to, you know, sign on and say, we should do this. And, I thought this might be something that we should look at on a county level, to provide, you know, this kind of unique approach to, you know, geothermal, that is something that I wasn't even aware, you know, one could do. So it's basically they're looking for $6,000 for a scoping project. And this would be, like I say, would allow individual homeowners and business owners to tap into this network and, you know, use heat pumps and get energy from geothermal sources. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And I don't know. I don't know what the next step would be. I don't know if we would want to also sign a letter or write a letter that would encourage this project to move forward, or if we could look into getting funding. Like I say, this would only serve the town of Marbletown as opposed to the entire county, but it would certainly be a very interesting pilot project that could be used in other places as well. So that was my thought. So thanks.
If I may, it's a community heating and cooling system. And so if it were, you know, this could be a pilot for other systems. The $6,000 would be for a feasibility study. The actual construction and equipment would be considerably more.
Would be far more, yeah. And I have no idea what sort of money we're talking about. So.
But the energy savings, and this has come up in the Mid-Hudson Regional, you know, those discussions. This has come up really over the last decade. It's been bookmarked, the idea of community energy systems for heating and cooling. They are in use in Europe, Scandinavia in particular, and other places around the world. And if Ulster County is going to take leadership in addressing the climate crisis, this is a really good one because it's a lot less expensive to do a community system than for each household to do air source or ground source heat pumps. And ground source are ultimately much more efficient.
Right.
Because the ground is 50 to 55 degrees year round. It absorbs heat in the summer that it can use in the winter. It gives off heat in the winter. To have a better cooling system in the summer. And so I think it's a really good project. Tom Conrad should be commended, but I think we should think of it as a pilot. And let's think about what the next steps would be, because what we don't want to do is have it be, oh, it's too soon. We can't think about this now. Too soon, whoops, sorry, now it's too late. Yes, right. Please. Catherine, go ahead.
I have to find the unmute button. Sorry, Eric, I was wondering, do you know where the water is coming from? Are those the wells over at the community college?
That is actually what Tom had suggested using would be the, you know, the college used to rely on wells that were there at on site. And now because they're, you know, having water, you know, from a municipal water line, part of the High Falls Water District, you know, those wells are no longer being used. And so it would be, you know, basically two water pipelines running next to each other. And, you know, since it would be, you know, water as opposed to some other, you know, chemical or something, you know, it wouldn't have the same sort of environmental risks of, you know, running next to a municipal water line that, you know, other projects might entail. And like I said, the whole idea would be is, you know, while the county and the municipality are sinking millions of dollars into this new water pipeline, at the same time, you know, they might consider doing this.
So there's an existing pipeline between High Falls and the college?
Yes, there is an existing water pipeline that was installed a couple of years ago when I still served on the town board. And it runs basically up Lucas. If you're familiar with that neck of the woods, it goes from High Falls up Lucas over to Leggett Road. And from Leggett Road, it then cuts across private property, the Vivekananda Estate, if you know, if you know that area, and then goes to the college. And and then, you know, the talk would be to take the water pipeline down Leggett Road to 209 and then go both north and south on 209. And part of the reason the town wants to do this is, because there's all sorts of water issues there people are having with their wells. And also, you know, the town of Marbletown would like to invest money in building public housing. And, you know, having municipal water is a key consideration in that as well.
There actually is another aquifer sort of northwest of Route 209, more toward the southern end of Marbletown, that I found in a study a long time ago. I had to be really careful because I didn't want to expose this great aquifer and then have someone run out and buy it. But I believe, I think I heard after that that the Open Space Institute had actually made an arrangement with the people who own the farm there. And I think they have control over it. But that's a fabulous groundwater aquifer for Marbletown, because I know their water is just full of all kinds of carbonates and very, very hard water.
Yes, and there's also a very strong sulfur smell, which is not necessarily hazardous, but it's unpleasant. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, well, we got a long ways away from things, but...
Right. But anyway, I just when Tom brought this up at this meeting today, I said, wow, what a great idea. I would like to bring this in front of our committee and get your input in it, and perhaps, like I said, come up with an idea for, you know, next steps, or if we should write a letter, or if we should, you know, try to, yeah. Like I said, I just wasn't sure what the next steps would be.
Yeah, I think most subsurface geothermal systems involve either deep wells or a lot of piping that goes maybe, a few thousand feet, something like that, underground. So I don't know how it would work with the water main like that.
Oh, see, it was my understanding that they would be kind of run right alongside the water main, which is only, you know, like four, you know, I don't know if it's 8 or 6 or 10 feet below the surface. So I'm not an expert by any means in any of this, but I just thought it sounded like a really intriguing potential pilot for the entire county.
It sounds worthwhile to explore it at least.
One thing I would like to add is when we were building the Sustainable Living Resource Center, we had dug a trench for the foundation. And at that time, I thought about putting in geothermal, and someone talked me out of it. And it would have been, you know, just, well, I don't want to go into details, but I defrayed because of the cost, and that system would have more than paid for itself by now had I taken advantage of the fact that there was a 6-foot trench open and available for a geothermal loop. And so I think what Legislator Stewart is bringing forward is the fact that all this trenching is going on anyway, and to be able to take advantage of that to develop a community heating and cooling system as a pilot, I think is a really valuable suggestion. And why don't we think about what the next steps are, and possibly even maybe if you could reach out to Director Dennis Doyle in planning, and Director Vazda could speak with his folks, and you know, just help us figure out how maybe we could make this possible, so it's not just a good idea but actually happens.
Right. Well, this pipeline is a project that we've been working with Dennis Doyle, with Supervisor Parity, with you know, a bunch of folks, and so. Yeah, I need to speak to Dennis Doyle anyway, so I might mention this to him.
All right. Well, this will become old business. It was new business this time. We'll consider it again next month.
Great. Well, thank you for letting me hijack things there with this update. So thanks.
Well, it could prove very beneficial, so thank you.
Certainly, and it definitely ties in with what Legislator Erner was bringing up earlier about how, you know, we need to be sure that we're actually generating power from renewable sources, and, you know, not just having, you know, a nice band-aid approach, or, you know, or whitewash or greenwashing things, I guess is a better term. So.
Yeah. Okay. Survey of local municipal policies on pesticide and herbicide application. Legislator Erner, was that your?
It was. If I might, I just, before we moved on to new business, I did want to make a quick plug to this committee that the Public Works Transportation and Capital Projects Committee on Monday evening is planning to hear from the Center for Post Carbon Logistics based in Rosendale, and they're going to talk about their what they do and their comments about the State Climate Action Council's draft scoping plan. So I just wanted to bring that to this committee's attention. They're going to focus there, of course, on transportation related matters, but it does impact our business here as well.
And that's Andrew Wilner, who guided, he was one of the 15 experts that that wrote sections of the draft scope, comments on the draft scoping plan. And he and Betta Broad, a former member of the Climate Committee, work together on the transportation sector. So thank you. All right. Let's move to pesticides, if getting cognizant of the time here.
I sent you, I think, in the backup of the committee information, but I could just share my screen. I was trying to find a way to get this up here. Hang on. Hello. My power just went out. Temporarily, it's not really my My power just went out for a second. Hang on.
Oh.
While you're finding it, I've been at the Ulster County Fair all week, and I just want to share this. Oh, it's. Can you guys read that?
Yes. Oh. Nice.
So I will just quickly show you. Sorry, it's not as pretty as I would have liked it. Come on, come back. I sent something out to each of the towns. So like Gardner's not, most of the towns don't actually have a policy, but they are all the ones, the only one, the town of Lloyd, apparently, if they do use it in some designated areas, it's done with a licensed pesticide herblicator application technician. And they use it on some right-of-ways and things.
I can tell you the town of Marbletown does not use any herbicides or pesticides.
Okay, did they answer me? Yeah, they just never answered me. So first I sent an email to the whole highway organization, the highway, they have just like the supervisors have a group, the highway departments across the county have a municipal highway departments group. And they sent something out for me. And if I didn't hear from them, I followed up with an email to each of the highway supervisors and town supervisors and got a few more answers. I don't know how far you want me to go with this or what you want to do with the information. It's been kind of busy to collect, to make phone calls to all these folks and try to started to do that. But I'm leaving messages and.
Can you email that to me?
I certainly can, and I think it's in the on the OneDrive for tonight's meeting.
All right,
I'll email it to you too.
No, that whatever. Okay, thank you. I want to look that over and then I'll take it from there and speak with my town.
So a lot of the towns didn't have a policy, but they don't apply any. So
yeah.
The county does have a policy, but I think it may be specific to glyphosate.
And I think our policy applies to our property. I'm not sure it applies to, I don't know if it has any requirements of the towns. Of course, the towns have to follow state and federal, guidelines, right. Any applications, and it has to be done by a licensed professional. So. That was made very clear to me.
It has come up quite a few times because people are seeing the brown vegetation, which means it's been sprayed, because if you use manual cutting, then it lays down. It's not still standing up.
Of course, the state does spray on their right-of-ways.
I don't mean to make more work, but is this something Chelsea could help with? up to Victoria, and I don't want to get in the middle of that, but just know that she does
Chelsea's
really
good research. Got her hands full right now, too.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I believe Phil had his hand up. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, just like a few thoughts about this. I've definitely seen some. I see the city of Kingston, my municipality, didn't respond. I've definitely seen some brown around. So maybe I need to call them and see what's going on. And I know that the state, if a property owner asks them not to, they're not supposed to spray that section. I want to suggest, though, that we consider just getting all the municipalities together and talking about what it would look like to ban this totally. I'm reading here from the landless workers movement. That's one of the things that they call for worldwide. The Brazilian popular movements who responded to the 2021 UN climate change conference in Glasgow with dissatisfaction. They also asked, they have a demand that no more pesticides or herbicides. They have some other things related to agriculture. That's not our committee. But, and I'm hearing it from the public too. I'm hearing from no less than the mayor of City of Kingston. So I think it's time for us to have that discussion in Ulster County.
I agree with you.
I agree as well.
Why don't we initially each take responsibility for the towns in our district and get that information to supplement, you know, since Fawn has started it? Would right. you be so kind as to make that into a shared sheet?
I can figure out how to do that. Maybe Chelsea can help me.
I can help you with that, Fawn.
Okay, we got help. All right, very good.
Fawn, I wanted to thank you so much, by the way, for doing that research. Thank you.
Yes.
Yay.
And we'll follow up, and that'll be, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 more municipalities, because some of us are in more than one. So, all right, very good. And we'll see what's missing. And yeah. maybe some of our colleagues can help with that.
In their defense, right. really busy time of year for the highway departments. And so.
That's true.
Anyway, and the Neighbors for Central Hudson, I know Mark's not here tonight. He had suggested that Joe give us an update on that. I believe some meetings happened, but I don't know how far they got. If they did any well testing or if they reached any, you know.
Why don't we keep that on the agenda and try to get an update for September at this point?
I can give a brief update just because I've been on their email list.
Okay, please.
Okay. So, well, I guess the upshot is the next meeting that the neighbors are having with Central Hudson and all of them is at the end of this month, Monday, August 29th at 6 p.m. And where is my other email about this? Sorry, one second. Kaylin's, one second. Okay, nope, I'm, oops. Come back to me. There's some back and forth between a newspaper reporter and the residents about covering it. and. Yeah, I guess we can check the Freeman story, but yeah, why don't I just leave it at that and we can hear from Joe next time.
Yeah, I think that'd be wise. And also just when Joe presents it, you know, for Chelsea and others who might not have know the background, just a sentence or two of, you know, what the background is.
Oh, right now, you'd like a sentence or two?
No.
Sure.
I think you can wait till next time. I'm just looking at the time, and we have several other agenda items. So let's okay. have a focused discussion next time, because it's an important issue. Photovoltaic power generating projects, solar mapping. Upgrading infrastructure. I can just report that we have completed 4 of the 5 training sessions for the solar mapping for the summer. And Clearwater, New Yorkers for Local Power, New Yorkers for Clean Power will be sharing, and Scenic Hudson will be sharing a fall version, and we have a volunteer that's going to analyze what we've done over the last year and make some good suggestions. He's from the West Coast, I think, Tucson, and did sustainability planning for that city for many years, and is coming east in the month of August to help really analyze that and move forward and see how we can be more effective in empowering municipalities to do wise solar siting. And the Ulster County Fair, we're midway through. It was a big deal setting up, but we have Climate Row, which includes the Climate Smart Committee and various educational displays. And then New Yorkers for Clean Power created a nonprofit organization shared space with even more information about climate change and climate solutions. And if you haven't been to the fair, please come. I'm going to ask Legislator Hansett, and Legislator Stewart, I think, both for your feedback on Climate Row.
Want me to go first, Eric?
You go right ahead.
Sure.
All right. First of all, Manny Jo, beautiful job on that whole row there that you did. It was very enjoyable. It was very educational. So I attended and we listened and we learned. I was with the sheriff and he had a good time doing the crossword puzzle and looking at all you had. And it was interesting to look at that map, and everything was very interactive. So hats off to you for that. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought, echoing Gina, I thought it was a great effort. And I think you're extremely lucky to have Kim Mayer helping with this project, because she just seems amazing. Who was the gentleman, Manny Jo, that was there the other evening from New Paltz?
Joe Londa.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, so I you had some, you know, and I knew Jim Hoover and his husband who were there, you know, from Marble Town. So it seems like, you know, you had a really great turnout of volunteers, and folks seemed really interested in what was going on. And I did the little crossword puzzle too. I thought that was fun. So yeah, so it was good all around. I look forward to, I don't know if any of y'all are going to be there, but I look forward to going back on Saturday. I'll be there from 2 to 6.
And we have, you know, I think it's 18 slots to fill over 6 days. And just wonderful volunteers, people that are willing to volunteer to give a 4-hour block of time, and sometimes several 4-hour blocks. It's just amazing how enthusiastic they are, and the hundreds of conversations that we have and the awareness that we build. And one thing, particularly for Director Vazda, we find that people look at the map of Ulster County, and if their community is not represented as a climate smart community, they're really concerned and they're going to follow up. And I let them know that, you know, if they hear from some of us, we're always asking people to take action on climate change. But when they start hearing from their constituents, I think that the town board or the village or city council will pay more attention. So, and it really is fun, you know, and it sounds sort of strange to be talking about a global climate emergency and having fun, but because of you know, in at one booth, you spin a wheel and then you get asked some questions. And if you have the right answer, you get a little prize and so forth. So, you know, we're doing a lot of education and having a good time.
And proximity to corn dogs helps.
Yes. I believe Chelsea wanted to say something about Climate Row. Oh, no? Okay.
I was just going to say that I will also be there Saturday, 2 to 6. So.
Yay. Okay.
Right. Community engagement.
All right. Let's see. Ulster County Fair. One thing that happened this year is we were too slow on recruiting vendors. And by the time we got people that were interested, the fair had sold out all its vendor space. So next year we'll start a lot earlier. And UCRRA was there today and will be back tomorrow. Very delightful new staff person. Very good to see, and that kind of cooperation is just so much what's needed right now. Climate Smart Committee, Nick mentioned this earlier, we are not meeting, the Climate Smart Committee will not meet at its regular fourth Monday. Instead, we'll have the summit, the round table. And then...
And that's the round table at the Rosendale Community Center, correct?
Yes. Yes. And then Nick also reported on the Reuse Innovation Center. And I just want to say that we have also... People have heard us talking about for several years now a zero waste implementation plan. The Recycling Oversight Committee, which is a formal county committee, created a document. I believe it was called a zero waste action plan. And it was more aspirational than implementable. And so some of us have been working to try to take that document and make it implementable. And we just recently hired someone to take all those pieces and put it into a coherent document, which will go to the UCRA for their input. That will get incorporated. It'll go to the Recycling Oversight Committee. And then once those entities have had a chance to have their input, and it'll be an iterative process until everyone is complete with it. Then we'll go out over the course of this year with stakeholder meetings from haulers and businesses and education facilities and so forth to make sure that it makes sense. So we have these two parallel projects happening to do a feasibility study on the Reuse Innovation Center and to pull together a final draft of the zero waste implementation plan. And if all goes well, by the end of the year, we will have had those conversations and incorporated them, and then it would go to UCRA and the county to become an official addendum to the local solid waste management plan. And DEC recommends that every 2 years that plan is reviewed. So we would have essentially reviewed it and have an addendum. It may not work out that way, but that's the plan and the hope, and that, you know, everybody's input will be incorporated. I think that we were successful at that with the composting law, the food waste diversion. And so we're using a similar process. And I think that can be another way that Ulster County can be a model in terms of addressing climate. And at this point, yes, please, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention this is my personal viewpoint. I'm not speaking for the board of UCRA, but our biggest problem I see is single stream recycling. And, you know, I've been driving around and I see the haulers picking up the stuff. It all goes into the same place, whether you have the green tote or the black tote. And I just can't help but imagine that all this recycling is going to the landfill. Somehow we have to get it sorted out. And I don't know how we're going to do that. The haulers are the problem. And if we didn't do flow control back when we did it for the waste, now if we tried to do it on the recycling, man, we would just get sued to death. So I don't know how we're going to get buy-in, but somehow we have to get the haulers to really separate it out. You know, people are good at home. They separate it out, but then it all goes into the same place and to the landfill. So somehow we have to figure out a way to deal with that. That's all.
Two steps that I know of are those of us who have been working on this and anyone who wants to join us. There's a sorting facility in Beacon for single stream, and Waste Management has one up in the Albany area. So that's the first thing, is to see what they are actually doing and how effective that is or not, or is not. And then, you know, that may be end up being a recommendation in the Zero Waste Implementation Plan, is that in Ulster County, they did it in Kingston. And as you well know, that was not an easy transition, but they made the transition, and now they have, you know, much cleaner material because people are paying attention, and the spaghetti sauce is not getting on the newspaper. I do think that one of the reasons we were successful 20 some odd years ago in taking our waste diversion from 4% to 40% was that it was all source separated material. And the haulers had trailers that each had different components. And when they picked up the recycling from the one blue bin, here was the green glass, here was the brown glass, and, you know, so forth. And then to increase, with the thought that it would increase participation, little by little, that went from source separation to single stream. And then China said, we don't want your garbage anymore. And so now we have to rethink it and put in place a system that'll really work. So all of that, you know, waste is one of the major areas where we can make a difference for climate change. So, you know, we'll see how each of these comes forward. But I think there's a lot of agreement that we have to do better in terms of engaging the haulers. And also in terms of overall, a lot more can be done at the town transfer stations than is currently being done. So engaging the municipalities as well.
All right. Well, I give Kingston credit for, I was at the agency the other day. Two big trucks came in with recycling, and they're doing a great job. So I was really glad to see that. So we just got to work on the towns. I know my town is great. We put everything where it belongs, and it comes in, and that's great. But I don't know what's going on in the other towns.
Penny Coleman has visited every single transfer station and written up, and that will become a section of the Zero Waste Implementation. What are they doing well? What are their concerns? What more could they be doing?
Great.
I think I Legislator Erner's hand.
I had, when we're ready, just a couple real quick updates for old business.
Please.
Okay, thank you. although we haven't had the indoor air quality joint committee meeting or presentation to a large group, the low-income affordable housing working group did have a fairly detailed discussion and presentation from the Hudson Valley Indoor Air Quality Coalition that this committee might be interested to watch. And so that's one thing. And we're, you know, in that working group, hopefully that leads to some policies that then will come before our committee. another update is about the electrical line proposed for the Hudson. I've heard a rumor that the transmission developer, TDI, that wants to put the chippy that we've talked about here and memorialized against, and that they might be putting another application into Dutchess. So I'll keep us updated if I hear anything else, because the last thing we heard was that they were no longer coming before our IDA here in Ulster. So I do know that they're doing some exploration in some diving in the river to see, I guess, where they might put it if they are doing it. Whether we have any authority over that is seems unlikely, but that doesn't mean we can't find other ways to express our dissatisfaction. And the Hudson 7, I think, are also involved still from what I've seen. So that's about that. And do I have one more thing? Oh yes, the environmental advocate. So that partly came out of the discussions with the Esopus neighbors and with the Golden Hill redevelopment, but just keeping that on our map here for this committee, the idea of having that type of position, someone who either can referee among different government and private interests if the public are not satisfied with how things are going, or possibly even if there is an issue that they're having directly with the county in the way we're doing a project, that there could be some sort of advocate auditor type person who can independently be like, oh, okay, the residents are not happy about this, and let's see if we can address it. So just keeping that on our radar here, and welcoming any thoughts certainly from the committee and from the public about how that could look.
Okay, at this point, what I'd like to do is just summarize the things that we've said we would do. So for example, between now and the next time we meet, we're going to have a shared document on the revised declaration and at least one Zoom meeting with regard to the pesticide use. Chelsea's going to work with Fawn to create a shared sheet, and each one of us will follow through with our municipalities. Legislator Stewart is going, you say what you're going to do. Each person say, Legislator Stewart. Wait, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. Okay, on my list I have to check with the spraying policies for the towns of Marbletown and Hurley. I'm going to touch base. I'm going to send an email to Michelle Hinchy to see what the status is on charging stations at rest stops. I'm going to be reaching out to Dennis Doyle, Christopher Kelly, and others about this potential study for geothermal on Marbletown's waterline project. We are all going to look at the draft resolution for the climate emergency and make comments on that. I'm going to send the legislative schedule to Tim Guinea to possibly make a presentation before us. And that's what I have. So.
Hold on one second.
Oh, and I'm going to show up at the fair on Friday, on Saturday, and see Chelsea there.
Okay, Legislator Erner, your homework?
Yes, I was thinking to go to the fair tomorrow night, but it might be Saturday based on the weather, and that'd be just as well, see some more friends. I am going to get in touch with the IDA around energy benchmarking, copy to Legislator Petit as well as this committee, what's going on there. Look into the Delaware Aqueduct with Supervisor Parity in Marbletown. Check with my municipality, City of Kingston, around spraying herbicide, pesticide, and so forth, and invite them to a meeting to be scheduled. And I'll just add, actually, to that, I'm going to check with council about our ability to regulate such things on private property. And then my task, like everyone else has, to contribute to the climate emergency declaration.
And I will send around the list that, or Fawn can just send around to the committee the list of videos, but I will preview the videos and let folks know what I think is, you know, the most valuable, and reach out to Attorney David Gordon about a Q&A type of forum. And let's see, Legislator Hansett, do you have a homework assignment?
I do. I'm going to look at the draft. I'm also going to check on Highland, Town of Lloyd, and Marlboro on their pesticides and their policies. And then something else that I didn't mention, but we have a new, so I work in Marlboro School District. We have a new superintendent, and I'm going to meet with him because prior to this, we do no recycling down there. And I'm going to follow up on that and find out what our policy is.
That's great. And that reminds me that legislators.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. You say it.
Well, Gina, thank you for sort of reminding both Manajo and me that one thing that we are planning on doing along with Legislator Hewitt is to set up an appointment to meet with the Rondout school district superintendent to do that very same thing.
Yeah. So in my classroom, there's in none of our classrooms, we had the blue bucket. We had nothing. And we had a lot of turnover down there. So, and then I had a little bit of a crazy year as well. So, but yeah, that's something that I want to do. And I'm going to do it also in Highland. But I know in Marlboro, they're not recycling. So I'm going to follow up with both my school districts. And I'm sure that there's a policy. So,
well, and there's a law.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yes. And in Roundup Valley, we're going to encourage them to even consider composting on site. But at least instead of all the disposables that they're using, reestablish a dishwasher, you know, a dishwasher that sterilizes and, you know, some of those basic. And the students from the Human Rights Club and the Environment Club want to help and participate. So, all right. I don't want to, ask if others have taken on homework assignments, but if you want to volunteer that you have, I think we've covered the committee. And I think we got a lot accomplished. It's a long meeting. It's an hour and 40 minutes, but it's an important topic or set of topics. So anybody else have any closing thoughts? All right, then thank you all. We will reconvene next month and we have our homework. And
yes,
the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Let's see, we have a couple motion and second. All in favor, please signify. Aye. Anybody opposed? All right, we are officially adjourned.
And thank you all for the work you're doing. So
right back at you. We'll see you at our monthly meeting.
Yes, indeed. Right. Thank you.